prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, February 15th, 2024. Hi, Dave.
24. Hi, Melody.
Did I get it right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I'm good.
Hey, happy National Gumdrop Day. How about it? Mm-hmm. Gumdrops have actually played an important part of my life, anyway, up to and
really?
Including my more recent years as a grandparent.
Wow.
Yeah, they're tasty, colorful, and a chewy candy made with gelatin and coated with sugar, come in a variety of flavors and colors, and can be fruity or spicy. When I was 16, I got a night job working the candy counter at a local movie theater in my hometown. And after a movie would begin and all the patrons were in the theater, my friend, a coworker, and I would raid a box or two of drops, kind of cum drop back in the day. I don't know if they're
still
made
or not. Aren't they called dots? Weren't they called
dots? Oh, they're
dots.
They are dots. I beg your pardon. Yeah, drops.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to correct you on the radio.
Freudian slip. Yeah, dots. That's it. We would eat
dots.
The red and green dots and mm-hmm. combine the orange, yellow, and black ones and return the box to the shelves for resale.
Oh, is that why I never had red ones in those?
I know. Ew. But not exactly a practice I'd recommend to my grandchildren today, who, by the way, love gumdrops, as do most kids. Anyway, credit for them goes back to the early 1900s. To a chemist and candy manufacturer, Percy Truesdell, who's known as the Gumdrop King. If he were alive today, I'm sure he would have been knighted as an honorary royal.
Aw, yeah, I like gumdrops. I used to eat a lot of, what are those things called that were purple and white?
Oh, yeah, licorice. Yeah. I forget, but yeah, I've had them. Five and Dime store, right?
You'd get those. No, you get those at the movie theater too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always a popcorn person at the movies. Oh, no, you used to get Milk Duds.
No,
Milk Duds.
They're my downfall today.
My downfall was chocolate covered raisins.
Raisinets.
Oh, and the mints.
Junior mints.
Junior mints.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Living large.
Boy, those were all my favorites. Every single one I loved.
It was great to be a teen with no worries about blood glycogen levels and A1C.
Did they even have popcorn in those days?
Oh, absolutely.
Did they? Or was it just candy?
No, it was popcorn.
Because come to think of it, I think we always just got candy.
Yeah. No, we popped it. Popped it between each show, in between each showing.
I mean, when we were, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I think so.
Yeah, we still had popcorn.
I think so.
Well, I still do popcorn today, that's for sure. I'll do popcorn over candy today, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that we've told the listeners all about our childhoods and movie theaters and what you did when you were working, let's get to the markets, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. Gold today, up $11 in the April contracts, COMEX. You're looking at 2016. And are you kidding me? Oh, brother. Hold on. I'm just looking at something else.
You looking for a spot?
No. Silver was up 57 cents at $22.96. Platinum was up $8 at $905. And palladium was up 22 at $957. Well, I took, I guess palladium now overtook platinum there. I was thinking that platinum maybe has found its legs in the precious metals market once again. But so we have gold gain today on the U.S. dollar, and we saw the yield slip. But let's go to the paper markets. They were hitting some more records today. The Dow was up 300 points at 38,773. The S&P at a record 5,029, and the NASDAQ was up 47 at 15,009. Asian markets, they were all positive across the board. European markets, they were all green. The biggest mover was France, but it was still under 1%. 10-year yield, a little pressure coming off of that, 4.24%, 4.24. Oil today was up buck and a half, 78.16, almost 2%. And natural gas was down 1% at 1.59.
But I swear they're going to be giving natural gas away pretty soon, the way the prices come down over the last couple months.
Yeah, they'll run it back up the 5, though.
It's been amazing.
Nice little trade. You short it, then you run it up, and then you short it, run it down. And it doesn't cost you all that much either. But anyway, let's go ahead. And you know what? I saw this today and it just cracked me out. I don't know if we have the retail numbers today, how they tank. Do you have those today?
Yeah. It's coming next.
It's coming next. You know, yeah, everybody knows I'm not a fan. I think you know. I think everybody knows I'm not a fan. Little good old gray-haired Janet Yellen.
Hey, be careful there, lady.
Yeah, well, you're not the Treasury Secretary either.
you
would do a better job with me as your coach. You'd do a better job. She said that despite yesterday's inflation report or Tuesday's inflation report, she thinks the economy is very strong. You know, she was talking at a luncheon, and I talked about what she said this morning. She said that, hey, inflation is coming back down to normal levels where it's not an issue to most people. Are you kidding me? Most people. Do they even really realize what they say? Oh, I guess it worked. I guess it worked. The markets were higher today, the paper markets, so it did work. It's not what they do, it's what they say. And she's pushing this economic, economic agenda that we have, you know, with that big couple trillion dollar Inflation Reduction Act that doesn't do anything to reduce inflation and so many of these other things to pitch for Biden since he can't do it on his own. But Yellen says, I think it's a tremendous mistake to focus on minor fluctuations and fail to see the longer term and bigger trend. Well, the longer term and bigger trend really isn't your friend. And not if you look at the true numbers and see where everything is going. Dave?
Well, she referred to the familiar goods that we were so shocked to see rise so sharply a couple of years ago. Eggs, cars, TVs started to come back down. With rare occasion, I mean, we're not talking about deflation here. Prices aren't coming back down across the board anyway. It's just that they may not be going up quite as high or as fast as they had been over the past 2 years. Besides maybe gas prices at the gas pump, which have come down about $2 from their peak in 2022. Overall, she said this year's economic outlook is looking pretty robust, pointing to the low headline unemployment numbers, which are about half of what they really are. They're not 3.7%, they're 7.1% or even higher. It's just that's the rate that particularly elected officials, their appointed cabinet secretaries, can use to make it appear rosier than it really is. She said we have a labor market that's the envy of the world. I mean, it has been if you believe the job numbers, which I'm not so sure are all that credible as they're making them out to be, she says people can feel comfortable about the job market. Well, I don't know. You got Western Michigan Republican Congressman John Molinar, who said Yellen and Biden's policies have actually hurt Michigan seniors with higher prices, record inflation, and burdensome regulations. I mean, that's a talking point as well. I mean, everyone is either exaggerating or lying, taking credit where credit isn't due, placing blame where sometimes it's appropriate, sometimes it's not. He certainly was point on when he said Secretary Yellen's misled Americans when she said inflation would be transitory and disappear quickly. So she has no credibility on the economy now. I guess more fighting words, Melody. Janet, I think, is thinking fondly of her days as Fed chair now that, Jay Powell's taking a little break from the speaking circuit or laying low. I guess she's taking up the slack.
Did she go into details about who the most people are? I mean, it's just,
no.
Yeah,
no.
And yeah, it's just so ridiculous. It really is. But it works for them. We see that in the paper market. It works. It's more what they say than what they do.
Yeah.
And we saw consumer spending fell sharply in January. Commerce Department today reported that the retail sales declined 0.8% for the month. Now, that followed a downwardly revised 0.4% gain in December. What was the initial number in December? Do you remember, Dave?
I think it was 0.6, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure of that. But even so, you're talking about a 1.2 percentage gain, percentage loss.
Loss.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty significant for 1 month.
Yes. And, of course, everybody was looking for a more modest drop, but they were looking for a drop. But you know what? Look how distorted everything is. So it's like, no wonder you're getting all of these bad numbers and so forth, and they always have to be revised. If you excluded autos, sales dropped 0.6%, and they were still looking for a gain. The sales report is adjusted for seasonal factors, but not for inflation. So the release showed spending lagging the pace of price increases. On a year-over-year basis, sales were up 0.6. Sales at building materials and garden stores were especially weak. They slid a little over 4%. Miscellaneous stores fell 3%. And we saw motor vehicle parts and retailers saw a 1.7% decrease. Yeah, we saw gasoline prices, gas station sales, they declined 1.7%. But hey, invest in bars, you know, restaurants and bars, hey, they had an increase.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, consumer spending, the substantial, the most significant component of GDP, accounts for over two-thirds of the level of economic growth in the country. And that consumer spending's been sort of at the center of what, you know, they say was like a 2.8% increase in the fourth quarter, 2.5% overall in 2023. But worries linger. And as we'll talk about or mention later this segment or in the program, recessions have hit other countries, Japan and the UK, most notably, word out today. And there's been a deep recession in housing, at least the housing industry and manufacturing in this country, for many moons. With inflation, even though it's down substantially from 9.1% a couple years ago, it's still more than 50% above the Fed's 2% target. I think we need a lot more time to see what's going to happen. And for anyone to say the fight against inflation is over, I think would be a big mistake. You got the experts, Robert Frick, who we quote occasionally. He's the economist with the Navy Federal Credit Union, talks about consumer spending not likely being great this year. We will see Fed Fund future traders. That keeps changing. You know, a couple months ago, there was almost certain rate cutting would start in March. Then May, and now, as of today, it's not until June that future traders think the Fed will begin cutting the first of four 25 basis point cuts this year. Well, yeah, time remains to be seen if that happens.
The only way they're going to cut is if the paper markets are falling down.
There you go.
And why would they do it? You know, they know they need higher rates going forward with the amount of debt that we have. It's just a no-brainer. And the only way they'll do it is if the market is falling out of bed. It's the only time they've ever done it. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm not going to go into it now, but I saw a report, too, where a $700 billion insurance product is powering the U.S. credit market rally, you know. So, and it's annuities, and it's like, oh, okay. Oh, I mean, there's just so much that really isn't healthy for most people, especially retirement age, because your money is all locked up. You don't have access to it, especially, you know, if you're over 65 and 70 to go into various products, but they'll sell them until they drop over because it's an easy pitch. And a lot of people think these annuities are like CDs. Well, they're not.
Yeah, not only is it an easy pitch, it's a profitable, a very profitable
yes.
pitch. There, the fees, if you think that certain financial advisors or particularly brokerage firms, fees are high for either, you know, doing your trading or the management fees they charge for asset under management, buy an annuity or look into buying an annuity. You'll see they're not 1.5%. They're 5-6%.
Yeah.
Charges
big,
there. So
big profit. Big profit. when I was with the savings and loans in our insurance department, they had this guy in there pitching annuities, only he pitched them as like CDs, and so many people got burned. But you're right, the profit, oh my gosh, it's incredible what they make on those. Oh, I hear the music. Oh, we'll be right back. Yes, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'm coming for your love, okay?
Hey, welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, who's taking care of a very important call at the moment. She'll be back with us momentarily. We're at 1-800-375-4188. Don't forget to check out our website, dgscoins.com. While you're there, sign up for our free weekly newsletters and blogs. Also, don't forget to ask Melody about our special. Do you want to go into that right now, or do you want me to talk about that?
Go ahead.
Well, we've got 20 extra fine, almost uncirculated piece silver dollars, plus 21-ounce silver American Eagles, $1,305. Including shipping, a big steal, ladies and gentlemen, while supplies last. 20 extra fine, almost uncirculated piece silver dollars and 21-ounce silver American Eagles. Again, $1,305, including shipping. Call us today, 1-800-375-4188.
You know, those peace dollars are beautiful coins, and most of them are AUs. The only reason we add extra fine is, you know, if there was a little bit of toning on it, but they were actually all AUs, but we're giving them to you at extra fine prices. And they've really maintained their value, and they don't make them anymore. What's really nice about them is, you know, for 90%, you can still take them to the store and purchase and use them. You can still use them at the grocery store. Now, again, people were going to say, why would I want to do that? I think people forget what happens when you're in a emergency type situation. It gives you options. And people say, well, I would never do that. Well, don't ever say never, because then you've never been in that type of a situation. And so if you had to spend one at the store to buy some lunch meat or something for your babies, you're going to do it, even if they took it at face value. But you can use it somewhere else, and you can use it for the item that it is, a peace dollar, with the supply and demand premium built in there, or just for the silver content. It gives you options. So they're a great investment because they've been maintaining their value even with the fluctuation of silver. They're not as volatile as your bullion coins. So it's great to add them to your portfolio, and they're beautiful. So, and then 1 ounce American Silver Eagles, they're 2024s. You can take those to the store, but yet they're always great. They're great bartering material because it is a 1 ounce silver, and they're beautiful coins also. So that's why the price might seem a little high, but it really isn't. And they're beautiful, beautiful coins. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. And Dave, we were heading into jobless claims Thursday real quick. That fell 8,000 to 212. That was the week ending February 10th. I don't think that's probably the main number there, don't you think?
Yep. Yeah, it fell. Boy, 212,000 of the claims?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4 week average up a little bit. Total of 1.9 million collecting all sorts of jobless benefits. That's an increase of 30,000. That's a number that the Fed is most interested in.
So here's an interesting one that the tap on, and I got a couple of other ones. You have Cisco is announcing layoffs of 5%. Of the workforce. They announced this yesterday, and they have a workforce of about 85,000 employees. So it's going to eliminate about a little over 4,200 jobs. And their shares were down as much as 9% yesterday. So they're going to downsize. We continue to see these industries squeeze out costs. Since, you know, their market downturn was, 2 years ago. And so far this January was the busiest month for job cuts in the industry since March. So far this year, 144 tech companies have laid off almost 35,000 jobs. That's a lot. Cisco reported strong fiscal second quarter results, but their revenue declined 6% year over year during the fourth quarter, Dave.
Yeah, that's but they did raise their dividend by a penny.
Ooh. Ooh la la.
No word on stock buybacks.
Yeah, that's coming next. But there was a couple of Morgan Stanley's laying off hundreds in their wealth management unit. Bayer is prepping to cut jobs and restructure. They're inviting workers to opt in for severance. So there's quite a few that are laying off. And I think we're going to continue to see throughout this year. We talked briefly about Japan and the UK. You have levity as golden this week, Dave.
Yes, it's true. You know, I guess a day after Valentine's Day, it's appropriate that February 15th is Singles Awareness Day.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Hey, didn't want you to miss out on all the fun. Because this day reminds us that there's nothing wrong with being single. In fact, it's something to celebrate. It happens to be who you happen to be. In fact, the day, this day, points out all the ways that singledom benefits us and our communities. There are several benefits to being unattached. Singles can come and go as they please without having to worry about a partner's schedule or their wants or needs. A single person doesn't have to consult a spouse or significant other before accepting a job offer. It's also easier, they say, for singles to keep up healthy habits. Although, if I can think back to those days, I'm not sure I was a healthy eater when I was single. But I do remember 1980. I still have this cover of a Washingtonian magazine where I lived back then. It pointed out in its title in huge lettering, "Love makes you fat." Hey, there isn't anyone to sabotage their efforts to work out and eat healthy. Really? I'm not so sure about that. I mean, certainly singles tend to be more self-reliant and involved in their communities. And they come in all ages, too. And you got Melody on the one end at 39. Mm-hmm. You've got others, that are 79. Whether they're single by choice or happenstance, recently single, or just lifelong bachelor or bachelorette, they tend to lead independent lives. That's something to look up to. But that doesn't mean they're alone, certainly not by any stretch. Mm-hmm. Maybe raising a child or a grandchild, or they may be caring for a parent or a sibling, or a dog or a cat or other pet or pets. Anyway, the 21st century, a single lifestyle takes on quite a different look than it did a century or two ago. So celebrate your singleness, ladies and gentlemen, to the extent you're single, that is. Join other singles for coffee, dinner, or other events. And if you aren't single, don't overlook the singles in your life. Include them in your lunch or dinner plans, your card games. In more cases than not, three is not a crowd.
Okay.
The end.
The end. What they used to call, single women old maids.
Oh, God, I remember
it was
that,
bad. It was bad to be single.
Yeah. My great-great-late-great-great Aunt Sarah, who was an English teacher in northern New Jersey. In fact, I think she was the first female department head. She was the chair of the English department up there eventually before she retired. She was single until she was 75 years old.
Wow.
She re-met her childhood sweetheart. Who was a widower, and they ended up getting married until she got dementia and passed away, but lived a very fine life.
So there's hope for this 39-year-old after all, huh?
Most certainly. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Just stay off those dating apps.
Yeah, I know. I do, trust me. Hey, the New York Manufacturing Index rises, but, it's still in, negative territory. You had the New York Fed, the headline General Business Conditions Index, after falling by 54 points the last 2 months, rose 41 points. But you know what? It's still a negative at minus 2.4. So, yes, you're going to have bumps. New orders decline modestly. Unfilled orders continue to shrink. Delivery times continued to shorten. Inventories declined. Employment levels were a little changed while the average work week fell. And was this for January or?
It's actually, I think, February.
For February, okay.
To date.
Probably
the latter part of January and early February.
Yeah. We saw the inventories decline. Employment levels were little change. The average work week fell. New orders index climbed 43 points to negative 6.3, pointing to an ongoing decline in orders. might be a little bit at a slower pace than last month. The shipments index increased 34 points to 2.8. So we saw a little bit of an increase in those shipments. So unfilled orders index came in at negative 9.6. So there you have it, Dave.
There you go. And the only thing I'd add is the prices paid index moved higher for the second straight month, pointing to a pickup in both input and selling price pressures. Price increases, excuse me. So that could portend for additional bumps in the coming months.
Well, does everybody remember Stellantis?
Sounds like a cocktail.
Remember, they were involved in the big auto workers' strike?
Ah, that's Stellantis.
Giant global auto. They reported a 10% year-over-year fall in profit. This is the second half of 2023, as the six-week strikes at the so-called Detroit 3 automakers did hurt the production. Adjusting operating income came in at 10.2 billion euros. That's just shy of 11 billion in U.S. dollars. For the July to December period, down 11.3 billion euros for the same period in 2022. So, although their shares were higher, go figure. Like, never makes sense, but it, North America, the group's operating income margin fell 100 basis points year on year to 15.4. And Stellantis said it was primarily due to the production disruptions. So the big question is, Dave, can they get back that loss and then do more? And you know what? These employees who, how does it affect their stocks that they own, you know?
Well, it's an interesting point. I guess time will tell. I mean, he's posturing that, 2024 is going to be better than 2023. But
good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's going to be long-term pressures to keep the lid on the price of new cars. Not even getting into the used car debacle. But they say the strike, the six-week strike, cost the company over $3 billion in revenue.
How is that loss going to avoid layoffs? It's not. Yeah. So those four people that, did the strike for that 25% wage increase, I mean, how many of them are going to lose their jobs? I think some already have, but anyway.
Anyway.
Sometimes you just ask for too much and it doesn't help you. It just doesn't help you. It hurts you more than it hurts you, than it helps you. It only helps the ones that are in that don't need the help, probably. But anyway, the number of workers who walked off the job surged. Now, this is huge, 141% last year from 2022, due to the strong labor market. This has fueled a rise in support for unions and worker organizing, emboldening organizers to take a hard line, pushing folks to the picket lines. Dave. It's a good thing if it works, but you know what? Things don't trickle down. The only thing that trickles down is poor performance.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not just the auto workers. I mean, you've healthcare, Kaiser Permanente workers.
Yeah, yeah.
Media, the actor and writer strikes, and LA school workers, to name the four major categories. 350,000 workers on strike last year, according to the Cornell University School of Labor and Employment Relations. Interestingly, the top three demands, not surprising, of course, at the top, better pay, then improved health and safety conditions, followed by increased staffing. That's primarily among the healthcare industry, because their employees there, particularly the nurses, said significant understaffing in hospitals negatively affected patient care. We will all recall what it was like during the height of the pandemic. It's apparently only gotten a little better, particularly in our major city healthcare facilities.
Well, we're heading into our break, and we'll be back for the third segment of the program. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, one more time today. Welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen. Melody taking care of other clients. This final segment, you know where to get her. 1-800-375-4188. Well, the White House said today it's providing almost $1 billion for improvements at 114 airports around the country. Work will range from wider concourses and new baggage handling systems to new terminals at some small airfields. Administration officials said the money comes from a $5 billion grant program to modernize airport terminals. The largest individual grant, $50 million, will go to Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport in Florida for a project to connect the terminals behind the security checkpoints and to provide new retail space and amenities. Whatever. O'Hara International Airport in Chicago, $40 million to widen the concourse, reconfigure security checkpoints. Phoenix Sky Harbor International, Washington Dulles, in Northern Virginia, San Francisco International, and LA, LAX, will receive amounts ranging from $31 to $36 million. A Federal Aviation Administration official said there were more than 600 applications with total requests of $14 billion. Now, the administration says it's gone to great lengths to promote new and proposed protection for air travelers, seeing airlines as an easy target of consumer frustration The president has railed against fees that some airlines charge to let families sit together. That bugs me. Just having booked a family trip to the Disney World having to pay the extra $20, $22, $25 to have us sit together. And that's not to mention the baggage fees. It's just out of control. Anyway, the Transportation Department published an online dashboard to prod airlines to commit to improving customer service. Let's see where this goes. About 59% of Americans think corporate greed is a major cause of inflation. That's according to a new poll from Navigator Research. The data also reveal that 25% of Americans say corporate greed is a minor cause of inflation. So what's that, 84% combined? Now, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents differ on the extent of how they view corporate greed and inflation. Among the D's, 72% said corporate greed was a major cause, 19% a minor cause. Republicans, 45% said it was a major cause, 35% a minor cause. And among independents, about 62% said it was major, another 20 minor. Interestingly, the poll also shows that 59% of Americans think government spending is a major cause of inflation, another 25% say it's a minor cause. And predictably, that differs down party lines. 42% of D's say it's a major problem or cause. R's, 78%. In any event, this poll data comes shortly after Joe Biden blamed inflation on corporate greed, calling it greedflation. In fact, earlier today, Biden said, "I'm calling on corporations to pass their savings on to customers." Look with that one, Joe. Come on. Well, too big to fail, Wells Fargo Bank counting their blessings today. This morning, the bank CEO said that one of its primary regulators has lifted a key penalty tied to its 2016 fake account scandal. Wells's Charlie Scharf said the Treasury Department's Office of the Comptroller of Currency terminated a consent order that has forced the bank to revamp how it sells its retail products and services. Wells Fargo, one of the country's largest retail banks, has now retired six consent orders since 2019, the year that Scharf took over. Eight more orders still remain, most notably the one from the Fed that caps the bank's asset size. That's a huge deal for a bank of Wells Fargo's size. In a memo sent to employees, Scharf called the latest developments a milestone for the company. You might remember the 2016 fake account scandal and related consent order ignited a wave of eyes on the bank. It revealed big problems related to the servicing of mortgages, auto loans, and other consumer accounts. I confess that my wife and I were one of those caught up in their mortgage scandal. The attention and subsequent investigations rightly tarnished the bank's reputation and forced the retirement of both ex-CEO John Stumpf in 2016 and his successor, Tim Sloan, 3 years later. Now, for his part, Scharf says the OCC's action is confirmation that we've effectively put in place new systems, processes, and controls to serve our customers differently today than we did a decade ago. Now, we'll see. He told employees, "It's our responsibility to ensure we continue to operate with these disciplines." According to Forbes, Wells Fargo and Companies is the nation's fourth largest bank holding company by asset size. holding about $1.9 trillion in assets with over 4,400 bank branches nationwide. JP Morgan Chase is the largest U.S. bank holding company, $3.9 trillion in assets, all these figures not including derivative face value, and 4,800 branches, followed by the Bank of America with $3.2 trillion in assets, 3,700 branches. Then there's a Citibank, Citigroup, in third place with $2.4 trillion. Again, Wells at 1.9, then Goldman Sachs in fifth with almost $1.6 trillion in assets. And then Morgan Stanley, U.S. Bank Corp, PNC, Truist, and the TD Group round out the top 10. Don't know if you saw this last evening. Officials in Washington are warning of Russia's rising ability to station nukes, nuclear weapons in space, illuminating the next scarier frontier of warfare. Experts are now saying the future of war is autonomous weapons, robots, sophisticated artificial intelligence, and a race to dominate space. The new intelligence suggests Russia just might be gaining a tactical edge in the space race. Space-based nuclear weapon could threaten America's extensive civilian and military satellite network, which transmits billions of bytes of data each hour, probably more than that. Russia wouldn't drop the nuclear weapon on Earth, but rather use it against satellites, these officials say. Now, this New York Times article says U.S. doesn't have the ability to counter such a weapon and defend its satellites, although the threat doesn't appear to be imminent. Nevertheless, officials say that the new intelligence raises serious questions about Russia was whether they were preparing to abandon the Outer Space Treaty of 1967, which has banned all orbital nuclear weapons. Yay for that. Jim Hines of Connecticut, congressman, the House Intelligence Committee's top Democrat, said tongue-in-cheek, no need to buy gold just yet. Well, as an aside, we beg to differ on that, Congressman. It's always a good time to buy gold and silver, too. House Intelligence Committee Chair Mike Turner of Ohio sparked a frenzy the other night with a vague statement warning of a serious national security threat. Turner urged President Biden to declassify the information, but didn't provide any details to reporters about the threat. It's unclear why Turner took what is being called an extraordinary step of sounding a public alarm before getting the full White House briefing. One theory holds that Turner just wanted to jolt his fellow Republicans into taking the Russia threat more seriously by funding Ukraine to wage war against Putin. Concerns about placing nukes in space go back five decades. U.S. actually experimented with versions of the technology since then, but never deployed them. Russia, on the other hand, has reportedly been developing its space-based capabilities for decades. U.S. military officials have warned that both Russia and China are moving toward the greater militarization of space as all three superpowers work on ways to blind the others. Of course, deploying a nuke in space would be a significant advancement in Russian technology and lead to a potentially dramatic escalation of the arms race. Hey, don't tell the nation's home builders. There's an unprecedented building boom underway in America. With it's come a less noticed trend, surge of investment into communities left behind in the last economic expansion. You have poorer counties with lower employment rates that have attracted a large share, the hundreds of billions of dollars allocated for the so-called clean energy projects, semiconductor megafactories, and on and on. If sustained, they say, the investment surge has the potential to help reshape local economies. A sharp departure from last decade, a period that saw more well, muted investment in these parts of the country. Now, these particular counties have received a disproportionate share of government and private investments relative to their economic output. That's according to a new report from Brookings and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. The researchers there looked at private investment in economically distressed communities, that is over 1,000 counties with a median income below $75,000 and prime age employment, that's probably 25 to 54 years old, that significantly lags the national economy average. The report says the previous 3 years of data indicate that after decades of economic divergence, strategic sector investment patterns are including more places that have historically been left out of economic growth. Now, the building boom has been spurred in part by money allocated under legislation that Melody mentioned last segment, Inflation Reduction Act, Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, and the CHIPS and Science Act. Some of that legislation provides incentives for investments in low-income areas. Since 2021, in fact, distressed communities received at least 16% of investments in clean energy, chips, biomanufacturing, and other industries. That's double their share of national GDP and about 1.2 times their share of the U.S. population. Now, when compared to overall private investment, investments in these specific industries are more likely to go to distressed communities. Brian Deese, who's a former top White House economic advisor who joined MIT last year and was a co-author of this report, said distressed communities are attracting new clean energy and semiconductor investment at roughly twice the rate of traditional private investment. And he added, if this trend continues, it has potential to change the economic geography of the country and create economic opportunity in parts of the country that too many people have written off in the past. Well, certainly to the extent that that comes to pass, that's a good thing. Now, these counties are mainly concentrated in southern states, but do include some areas in the Midwest and to a lesser extent, West and Northeast. In effect, it's created a new center for American private investment, a much different trend than the 2010s. During that time, distressed counties received an average of just 8% of total private investment. That excludes residential investment. That's roughly the same as their share of national GDP. Huge question heading into this November's presidential election is, well, what credit will voters give to the president, Biden, for the investment boom? In several states, Republican members of Congress who publicly opposed and actually voted against funding for these big projects have been taking credit for the manufacturing renaissance in their communities. Not that some Democratic members wouldn't have done the same if the shoe were on the other foot, but just simply, hey, this is what it is. Interesting development. I think that's certainly good for those parts of the country, for middle America. Hey, by the way, Major League Baseball is back, ladies and gentlemen. Pitchers and catchers have begun reporting to camps in Arizona and Florida this week. And exhibition games on the Grapefruit Circuit will begin at the end of the month. Opening day scheduled for Thursday, March 28th. Hey, it's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back next Tuesday. Melody back tomorrow with Butch to close out the week. Also, be on the lookout for our weekly blog tomorrow morning. Thanks, as always, to our production engineer, Todd Waite, and to you for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please have a good evening and be safe out there. Bye-bye.